Like to make note of prayers being answered. Sometimes we pray and God answers our prayers and we maybe forget about acknowledging that. Shirley's here this morning. She wasn't in good shape a few days ago. A lot of people have been praying and she's here. Nate was in Tokyo. He's back. He's tired, but he's back. God answers our prayers in so many ways, and it's surely good to remember that. This lesson, I guess I want to mention a couple things. We have a lot of ladies in our congregation who do a lot of really good things that maybe some of you don't realize. They develop very interesting classes for our young people, very interesting curriculums. Are followed. Sometimes even they provide outlines for sermons. Maybe you didn't know that. Sometimes they provide outlines for our TV program. These are all really good things. And I say that because this lesson, the backbone of this lesson is from some notes that Beth gave me. And it made sense to talk about pride. Last week we talked about James 4 and how James is dealing with different aspects of pride. So it made sense to follow up that with this lesson. A lot of times we teach and preach about how we need to be humble. And we realize that we need to be humble if we're going to be acceptable to God. But how do we get there? How do you get complete humility where we empty ourselves and give ourselves over to God's control? Well, we get there by getting rid of pride. We get rid of pride. And we see that the source of pride is from the heart. And let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. I'm going to cover quite a few scriptures this morning, so I'd like to encourage you all to grab a Bible and follow along and make sure I don't goof up. But I think if we do that, we're going to learn a lot of good things that will help us with dealing with pride. But Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 20, and he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Pride comes out of the, you know, things that are in our heart. These things, Jesus says, it comes from within. Pride comes within. And that's where we need to attack it. We need to attack and get rid of this pride that works its way into our heart. We need to root it out and get rid of it. When we think of examples of pride, you can go to the Old Testament. We're going to read one of these in Daniel chapter 4. It's a very striking example of how God deals with pride in Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, and I'd like to read this whole context because this really helps us understand how pride works and how God is going to help us to deal with it. Starting in verse 28. And I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling of my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Can you see the pride already? You see the pride there? He's got this, he's in charge of this empire, this kingdom, and he's taken full credit for it himself. "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you.'" Just like that. It's gone. This great kingdom that he's just bragging about. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Wow. Just keep reading. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or can say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and noblers resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he's able to put down. You see, pride was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. God was very long-suffering with him. It seems, you know, it could have been this reference to seven times in verse 32. It could have been 7 years he was like this. That's the thought. Pride. Same thing happened to his son, Belshazzar. And he lost his life because of it. Hezekiah. Hezekiah was humbled in a similar manner. He was puffed up with his riches and things. And God humbled his heart as well. And, you know, it's easy. I guess it's the thought is it's easy to see how someone with a lot of power, a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of authority can get full of pride. But you know what? It hits closer than that. In Luke chapter 18, this is the account of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying to God. Let's start in verse 10. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." There's the pride. "Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, you read this account, the key verse is verse 9. We didn't read that on purpose. Verse 9. "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Pride can be one of those things where we get ourselves all worked up and trust in ourselves and we look down on others. We get ourselves thinking we're so righteous, then we look down on others. What is pride? You know, in Proverbs 21, verse 4, it states very plainly, pride is sin. In Romans 1:30 and 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, pride is in the list of many sins that men practices. And there's four Greek words that are translated pride or proud in the New Testament. And the numbers are on the screen for you. And notice the words that are translated. Haughty, puffed up, arrogant, high-minded, boastful. And then number 522 or 5244 is the most common. And it's translated showing oneself above others, preeminent. You're up here looking down on everybody else. And you know what? In all these cases, it's always used in a bad sense. It's not good. It's always in a bad sense. How does God feel about pride? Let's look at a couple things here. This is an interesting thought that I've never really pondered. God is never described as being proud in this sense. He's not lifted up with pride. He's not arrogant. He's not haughty. Here, God, the creator of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, isn't proud. See that? So if God isn't proud, we need to follow his example and not be proud in our life. Another aspect of this, God hates pride. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And this is a passage a lot of people read and quote, and it's a good passage. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Notice where a proud look is. It's in with a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And you know what? God says it's an abomination. When something is an abomination, that is a very strong word to show how God feels about something. He's speaking very strongly about a proud look here. You see that? A proud look. Sometimes we may just give the pass over to pride. If God speaks so strongly about it, we need to not take it lightly. And that's what I'm hoping with this sermon it'll help us with. God resists the proud. In James chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, you know, God resists the proud. My pages are sticking together, sorry. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Just think about that. Resist. Okay, that term resist is referring to, it's kind of a military term, to range and battle against. When we exhibit pride, we're putting ourselves in opposition to God. We're in a sense in battle with God. Does anybody win against God? Not going to happen. So this idea God resists the proud, you know, that resist in our language doesn't really give it the full meaning of it. He's in opposition to the proud. We're not going to win that. God resists the proud. And then God will not tolerate the proud. He won't tolerate the proud. We've already talked about examples of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Hezekiah. And we're not going to take the time to refer to these, but you can refer to these. He took down Israel, Judah, Moab, Tyre and Sidon, Sodom, Samaria, Egypt, Edom, and Babylon. And you'll see in each of these accounts, pride was involved with that. It's pretty remarkable. Pride was involved with that. Nations get to be prosperous and they get full of themselves and think that they got all the answers. Pride. God won't tolerate pride. He's taken down many powerful people and many nations because of pride. Now, how does Satan view pride? First thing, he loves it. He loves it. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, all the things in the world, all the things that are not of God, guess whose realm that is? That's Satan's realm. He loves pride, and he uses it. Here's an example. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3. We'll read a few verses there. Genesis chapter 3. Here we're seeing the serpent is tempting Eve. Starting in verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." And this is eating the fruit from the tree that had the fruit that God... It's the only tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. And this is what Satan is tempting Eve with. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." You see the pride there? You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be like God. See, there's the pride. And there's a good example of Satan using it. He uses pride all the time. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 24. Satan uses pride to his advantage. "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride." So here you have pride and then attached with this idea of being arrogant or haughty. And I want us to look at a list of things here that shows how Satan uses pride to get us in the pickles with all sorts of things. And I want us to read each one of these because I did that and it was really powerful to me. Psalm 10:4. "Pride hinders people from coming to God and accepting his word." So Satan is going to use pride to hinder people to come to God in his word. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4. "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." You see that? See, when man starts thinking he's got all the answers, he's not seeking God anymore. See, he's got them all. His pride has got him, so he will never humble himself to God in that state. Pride causes people to stray. Let's look over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119:21. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Pride hardens man's spirit and prevents repentance. Let's go back to Daniel for a moment. Daniel chapter 5. In verse 20. And this verse is referring back to Nebuchadnezzar. "But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him." Pride hardens man's spirit and prevents repentance. You see, later on, Nebuchadnezzar repents. He realizes he was out of line. He realizes God is supreme and he needs to acknowledge that. And he did that. Hosea chapter 7, verse 10. "And the pride of Israel testifies to his face." Notice the next line. "But they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this." We've had really good Bible studies on Israel and the fall and all the patience God had with them. Here Hosea sums it up. "And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. They were so full of pride, they weren't seeking God like they should have been. Pride destroys faith. When you think about it, you can't be proud and submit to God. You can't be proud and trust in the Lord. You can't be proud and give your life over to the control of God. It just doesn't go together. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Do you see what's going on? God brings judgment. They're destroyed. And instead of submitting to God and humbling themselves to God, oh, don't worry about it. We're going to build better. Man knows better. You see that attitude today? Man knows better. He knows better than God. To believe in God, it's something silly, like Bill's lesson referred to. It's something silly. That's how they... Pride destroys faith. Let's turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. There's living by, you can almost say, it's almost like, you know, the flesh or the spirit. Pride or faith. Pride or trust in God. Pride leads to self-deception. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 16. Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. In Obadiah, a similar thought from Obadiah, verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Here's the illustration is, you set your dwelling place way up here, above everybody, in a place that nobody can attack you. But notice what God says. Who will bring me down to the ground? See, God can do that, and he's done that. Pride leads to self-deception. Pride can be a stumbling block. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. In 1 Timothy's description of, you know, Paul is describing to Timothy the qualifications of an elder or a pastor, overseer. Notice what he says in verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Here I've got, pride can be a stumbling block to the immature. You know, if you're an old man, you can be immature. If you're an old lady, you can be immature. It's not just the young that can be immature. But here, you know, being an elder, being a bishop is not good. It's not for one who's puffed up with pride. Pride is the opposite of being patient. And this one you got to think about a little bit. And there's another point I'll have that'll relate to this too. This one I had to chew on a little bit. Ecclesiastes. Actually, yeah, let's stick with James since we're in the New Testament, and we'll go to Ecclesiastes next. James 5, verses 7 and 8. James 5, 7 and 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes now. Chapter 7. verse 8. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. See that? Pride is in opposition to patient. Actually, they don't go along well at all. Pride produces envy. We've been studying in Galatians. And notice Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Let us not become conceited. There's the pride. Provoking one another. Envying one another. In James chapter 3. A reading I'd like to read because I think it really talks about a lot of things that involve pride. Starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Okay, so there's the admonition. It's this meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you see the problem with being prideful? It's mentioned twice. Self-seeking in your hearts. You see? The proud have this problem. All they're thinking about is themselves. And that leads to all sorts of other sins that we see listed here. Pride causes strife. It's kind of related to this point in 1 Timothy chapter 6. A passage maybe I've overlooked a little bit. We talk about 1 Timothy chapter 6 a lot as far as being content and different things. But notice these verses, starting in verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. Notice what it says. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Notice pride, the sins that kind of come from this pride, envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. Pride causes strife among people. There's some verses in Proverbs as well. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And turn over to 28:25. Who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prosperous. Oh, again, there's this contrast of being prideful or trusting in the Lord. And it leads to shame. Let's stick with Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride comes shame, or putting down. 29:23. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Pride leads to shame and humiliation. Pride defiles a man and leads to eternal death. We opened up talking about Mark chapter 7 and how pride is one of those things that comes from the heart of man. Let's look at the end result in James. James chapter 1. This idea that pride can defile a man. But notice the next step. Verse 14 of James 1. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Where's the pride there? His own desires. You see that? Pride defiles a man and leads to eternal death. I just want you to look at this list for a moment. To me, it's a striking list. And this list is how... And it's, there's other things you could put on here. But this is how Satan uses pride and how it can creep into our life. And there's so many admonitions about it. We need to take heed to that. We need to be careful how Satan uses pride and how he'll try to use it to get us off track. How can I identify pride in my life, in my heart? You know, the first thing, when we have an issue, the first thing is finding it and acknowledging it in our hearts. Sometimes that's not so easy. We're supposed to look in the mirror of the Bible. We're supposed to look in here, and we're supposed to see what we're really all about. What happens a lot of times, though, it's like after a shower and your mirror is clouded up with the fog, and you look in there and you say, yeah, I look all right. Then you wipe it away and you clean it and like, wow, oh, I got some work to do. See, we can't be like that. We need to be looking in the perfect mirror, the perfect law of liberty. And then we need to look at it and see ourselves as we really are. We need to be honest about it. That's the first way. And here it's put in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. This is David's attitude. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That should be our attitude. That's our attitude. Now, got a list of things that it's not exhaustive again. And we're going to go through this list a lot quicker than the last one. And this list may help us to identify pride in our life. And I'll just tell you right up front. this list stepped on a lot of my toes. I'll just be right up front with that. So maybe it'll help you. And I'm trying to anytime I give a lesson, I'm trying to learn from myself as well. So let's look at this list. How can I identify pride in my heart and my life? If I have a problem admitting I am wrong and saying I'm sorry, I may have a problem with pride. You ever have a problem with that? Sometimes I do. It's no fun admitting you're wrong. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Okay. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes when he has a tough time saying he's sorry? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You see that? There's more hope for a fool than him. If I have a problem forgiving someone, I may have a problem with pride. You have a problem forgiving someone or something? You may have a problem with pride. If I finally admit that I did the wrong thing, but it's someone else's fault. This one hits home. This one hits home. The first thing, you know, okay. Oh yeah, I forgot to do that, honey. But if you had told me, I forgot, I should have done this. But honey, if you had, I got to work on this. If I finally admit that I did the wrong thing, but it's someone else's fault, I may have a problem with pride. If I'm unable to accept rebuke or criticism without lashing out or pouting, I may have a problem with pride. You know, we've got a lot of good men that preach here. And many times we'll mention, you know, if someone has an issue with my sermon or my class material, please come to me. I want to hear that. Okay? So then someone gets the courage up to confront you about it or talk to you about something. What's your response? You accept it graciously and thank the brother, give him a hug, give the sister a hug? Or do you have a bad reaction to it? If I can't give up something simply because it offends my brother, I may have a problem with pride. We talked about conscience
in our class this morning. Dion mentioned a really good point about conscience, where people that come to the Lord sometimes have a background where there may be some things that hinder their conscience. Are we willing to give up something for that brother or sister? If not, maybe we got a problem with pride. If I have a hard time getting along with people and there's always drama in my life, I may have a problem with pride. Do you get along with folks, or do they avoid you? Do you get along with them? Maybe there's a problem with pride. If I look down on others, sinners, and think I would never do that, I may have a problem with pride. I'd like us to turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You see, there's a lot of good teaching on pride right here. Don't set your mind on high things. Don't be wise in your own opinion. If I have a hard time being patient with others, I may have a problem with pride. You know, sometimes we get impatient with others. We want them to do something quicker or better or more thoroughly. Or right when we say, maybe because we think we know how to do it better. Maybe they know how to do it better and we need to be patient and learn from them. If I look down on the needy rather than helping them, I may have a problem with pride. There's a striking verse in Ezekiel chapter 16. We don't have time to go to it, but I encourage you to read that about this. If I look down on the needy rather than helping them, I may have a problem with pride. If I'm determined to be self-reliant and do it all myself, I may have a problem with pride. How many of us, when we need some help and someone offers, we say, no, we don't need help because we got pride? We realize that person offering help is really trying to keep the commandment that the Lord gave us to help each other. And maybe we don't go to God in prayer when we need help. We don't want to bother Him. You see, pride gets in the way of very important things. If I kiddingly brag on myself, I may have a problem with pride. Okay? These two examples in Corinthians is Paul bragging about the brethren he knows. You don't see him bragging about himself. He's bragging about others. If I brag on my children because it reflects on, well, on me, I may have a problem with pride. You see this sometimes with sports teams where the man or the woman, they never attain their success in sports like they wanted, so they're trying to get their child to do that, and they live kind of vicariously through that. If I read a command from God in the Bible and feel myself resisting it, or I think that I am the exception to the rule, I may have a problem with pride. That's pretty self-evident, isn't it? If I know what to do to be saved, and I do not submit to God or keep putting it off, I may have a problem with pride. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Y'all have been very patient this morning. This lesson's a little longer than my typical lessons. But I couldn't think of a way to break it up into two lessons, so I appreciate your patience. Maybe the Christians in our audience, maybe something's hit home here. Don't let pride and the sin that's behind it go on unrepented of. Repent of that pride. I want to close with this passage in Philippians. If we could all read it together, I think it would be good for us. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. And this passage we read sometimes when we partake the Lord's Supper, and it's a perfect reading for that. But when you think about somebody who could be prideful, Jesus, the creator of the universe, just think about that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name.
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Imagine if Jesus says, you know what? I'm the Creator. Why do I have to become a man? Why should I put myself through becoming a man? Why should I put myself through the suffering as a man? Why should I submit myself to being crucified on the cross by my creation? But Jesus wasn't proud like that. Praise the Lord, he wasn't. He was humble. He was humble. He didn't let pride get in his way. And he gives us the perfect example for not letting pride get in our way in our life. If you haven't been obedient, if you haven't been obedient to the Lord, sometimes pride could get in the way because man has this tendency to want to be in control. We don't want to submit to anybody. Don't let pride get in your way this morning. You need to become a Christian. Submit to Him. Be willing to confess that He's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be immersed in water so your sins can all be washed away. Don't let pride get in the way. Pride will be a reason that many miss out on getting to heaven. And we surely don't want that for anyone here or anyone we come in contact with. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.